Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
On the scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, alongside Barry Cronin. I am Mike Esposito. Barry, and we are very excited to bring in our next guest. We're going out to the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Alpamonte Nissan is in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or at apnissan.com. You saw him at the Masters. He is the interpreter and manager for Hideki Matsuyama. His name is Bob Turner. Bob, good morning. We appreciate your time here on the scorecard.
Thank you, Mike and Barry. Thank you for having me on your show. And good morning to some great friends and everyone in Chicagoland.
Oh, well, thanks so much for joining us, Mike. I know you're out in Salt Lake City, so you're on mountain time, so you're an hour earlier than we are. So we really appreciate you getting up. But
My pleasure.
Mike, the average viewer sees Hideki Matsuyama being interviewed in post-round, pretty much through the week, and they see this nice gentleman sitting next to him, and I thought, well, maybe he's a member at Augusta National. He just happens to know how to speak Japanese, because, you know, you're so dignified and everything. So, how did you get there? People think, you know, you just show up and do that job, but you had a kind of a long and winding and interesting, fascinating road to sitting up there with Hideki.
Well, it has been a long road, Mike, probably 43 years in the making. First time I went to Japan, I was 19 year old. I was a missionary called to serve for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and served a two-year mission there, and came back to the States, got married to my beautiful bride of 47 years now. She's also from Japan. She got homesick here in the United States, and so my last year of college, we moved back to Japan. Played on the golf team there at the school I was going to, and was at a couple of tournaments. The guys that ran the tournament saw me and said, "What the heck are you doing over here?" And they offered me a job on the spot. And so I've been in the golf business now for 43 years.
And what kind of work do you do for Hideki? You're not just his interpreter. You do other things.
Yeah, I'm his manager, interpreter, travel agent, gopher. We do everything for him and our clients, who are all from Japan, all professional athletes that play here in the United States. We do everything for them so that all they have to do is focus on either golf or baseball or whatever their sport is. Handle all their logistics, their hotels, their travel, their entries, and interpret for them. We pay their bills. We make sure that all is well with them. And it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, Bob Turner is our guest. You saw him at Augusta last weekend, sitting alongside his client, Hideki Matsuyama. Bob, the interpreter and manager, as he just kind of described for Hideki. And that had to be kind of surreal, Bob. And I know, obviously, Hideki is a professional golfer, and you've been to Augusta before, but sitting there as he was presented a green jacket and watching, you know, as you said, this has not been a short road for you. You have been there for the long haul with Hideki. That had to be quite a moment for you.
Yeah, it was like no other. It was, as a former golfer, you know, you always dream of walking off the 18th green there and hugging your family and putting on the green jacket. I think we all do. And to have that opportunity to watch Hideki hang in there, to give him a hug after he finished, watch him put on the green jacket, it's still now just sinking in, you know, what he accomplished, and so proud of him.
You know, he wasn't playing all that well coming into Augusta. You know, he was kind of, you know, he's always had a little bit of his weakness, I think, in his game, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, has been his putting. And he really hadn't won since 2017. And if you just look at the stats, he was sort of so-so. So did you have any expectation going into the Masters that he was going to compete the way he did? Or was this a surprise to you, too?
No, absolutely. I was... I was surprised as anybody. You know, I was just hoping he was going to make the cut and you know, play his best. You're right. He hadn't had a very good preseason. I mean, from January on, I think he had a couple of maybe top 20s. He's been working on his swing, has a new swing coach, made a couple of adjustments, and I think he was working on them so no, my expectations weren't that high, but you know, you drive down Magnolia Lane and there's something special about Augusta National, and especially for Hideki, it's a special place for him, and everything just fell into place. And then he had that, you know, the tremendous back nine, or at Augusta National, what they call it, the second nine on Saturday after the rain delay. And put himself in contention and was able to get the job done.
Yeah, he also you talked about his swing. People who follow it remember that, you know, Hideki used to, you know, he'd take his transition. He'd take the club back, and for what seemed like about 20 minutes, hold it up there, and then swing down. So I'm exaggerating, but. Now he's trying to he doesn't hold it back there as much as long anymore. It's a little bit smooth but a little bit quicker transition.
Yeah, he's shortened that pause and has worked on like you said, the transition at the top is a little less pronounced as it was in the past, and same with his putting, too. And he struggled with putting the last couple of years. But he is when I was first with him 10 years ago, I mean, he made everything. But I think that's part of, you know, being a youth and not having any fears. You know how that goes.
Yeah, right. Bob Turner is our guest here on the Scorecard on 670 The Score. Bob, the longtime interpreter and manager for Hideki Matsuyama, and you know, you guys talked about it, Bob, with Hideki in the interview with Jim Nantz right after the round, right after Hideki won, how much this meant to the country of Japan and having lived there. And as you mentioned, your wife was born there. She's a Japanese woman. Can you put into words for our listeners how important this is and how this translates over in Japan for fans of the game of golf?
Yeah, it's been huge. Monumental, historic. This is something that the golf fans in Japan have waited for a long, long time. I wish I was there to experience. I've talked to Hideki since and you know, some of his people over there. It's been a quiet homecoming though for him because of COVID-19 and the pandemic and not able to, you know, have a hero's welcome at the airport and press conference and everything, but it's been front page on every newspaper. The TV ratings for the Sunday final round in Japan was over 50%, meaning over half the people of Japan watched that, which is amazing. A lot of tears were shed. People that don't even play golf or knew about golf have great, you know, pride in their new golf hero, and it's really been fantastic.
And Bob, I don't know if you negotiate sponsorships and contracts with him, but what will this mean for him in terms of his ability to, you know, just ascend to the stratosphere of off-course earnings?
No, you're right. You know, when you win a major, you take that next step up to the next level, and so. He will be busy, I'm sure, this next year. Yeah, we do negotiate contracts for him, and up until now, all of his contracts have come mainly from Japan, but I anticipate there will be more from the United States and from Europe in the days to come.
See, this is another thing. When we were talking, Bob, you kind of told me that you were his agent, and my impression of you was not as the, you know, the typical image that one would get as an agent. Do you know what I mean? The Jerry Maguire syndrome, although Jerry Maguire tried to be honest, but there's a lot of agents that are kind of working all the angles, and it doesn't seem to me like you're that kind of guy. So it's good to talk to you on that score too.
Thank you.
So your son is in the business too, correct, Bob, with you? And what has he been doing? I think maybe our listeners would be interested in that.
He is. He's worked for us, and we got a call one day from the Seattle Mariners, about the year 2000. They had just signed a new closer from Japan, Kazuhiro Sasaki, and they asked if we knew anybody that would come up to Seattle and take care of him, be his interpreter. And so Alan is our son, Alan Turner. He got that job, and the next year they signed Ichiro Suzuki, and Alan has been with Ichiro now since, you know, 2001, and traveled with him when he went to New York and then Miami, and now back to Seattle, where Ichiro is a coach for the team, and Alan is with him every step of the way still.
Alan would be a fantastic guest, Bob, for one of our baseball shows, because I'm sure that's been quite a journey as well. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Bob.
No, for sure. He's a good boy, and he has probably a lot more stories to tell than I do.
Well, no, and you, Bob, listen, this has been great, and as we let you go, and we really appreciate your time, we haven't really even talked about, like what kind of guy is Hideki? I know everything that I saw afterwards and as you kind of watched the Masters unfold, everyone referred to how stoic he was and composed and whatever, but you could see him getting emotional there at the end, and he was having a hard time keeping it together. Tell us about Hideki, the person. You've obviously known him for a long time, and you've seen him ascend to great heights here in his career.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, he's a fine young man, and very well deserving. He's a hard worker, one of the first on the range every day, and one of the last, if not the last, to leave. He's very shy, and so a lot of times the answers that he gives to the media is short, but very much to the point. You saw when he made the last putt there to win the Masters. You know, there was no, yelling or jubilation, just calmly took his cap off and congratulated Xander and his caddy and he walked off, hugging his team. He's a down-to-earth, he's blue-collar. I don't know if you saw there was a photo of him at the Atlanta airport on his way home Monday morning, just sitting, just in a regular airport waiting room chair with a mask on and the green jacket folded very nicely over the top of the chair on his way back to Japan. He's just a down-to-earth, great guy, and look forward to America getting to know him a little bit better.
We definitely did see that picture. That was very funny and goes to speak to what kind of guy he is. And before we let you go, I said last thing, but the gesture of his caddy at 18 after the round was also, I know a lot of people were talking about that. Can you talk about that and, you know, the bow that he did there at 18?
In Japan, all sportsmen have great respect for the sport and the game that they play. Even little leaguers, at the end of the game, when they walk off the field, everyone will take off their hat and turn to the field and bow. And so what Shota Hayafuji, his caddy, did, for Shota was not a big deal. I mean, that's just what Japanese sportsmen do. They show respect to the game. Shota was showing respect to Augusta National, to the Masters, by doffing his cap and bowing. And it's typical Japanese. That's the Japanese culture of respect for the game. And I'm so glad that they were able to capture that and share that with the American people. It was quite a moving photo of what he did, and it was tremendous.
Yep, absolutely. I know myself and lots of other people certainly thought that was wonderful to see. And you've been a wonderful guest to have on, Bob. We really appreciate your time, and thanks for taking the time to tell us your story and to talk about Hideki Matsuyama, our new Masters champion.
Well, thank you, Barry and Mike, and it's been all my pleasure. Hopefully we
thank
get together
very much,
again
Bob.
Soon.
Thank you very much, Bob. What a great guest. Thank you so much.
That's
thank
Bob
you.
Turner. He is the longtime interpreter and manager for Hideki Matsuyama, and what a great story. I mean, reading his backstory, Barry, and he kind of told us a little bit, but as a college student on the Mormon mission that he was there, he wound up in Japan and played golf, and he was like the lone American there, and he wound up getting into not only the golf business, but the business of assisting Japanese athletes as they came over here, and he kind of ran down everything he did in terms of logistics and interpreting and paying their bills and all that. I sounded like, man, it's like I need to get one of those services, you know, for my own life here. But no, it's a great story, and he's exactly as you said up front, because I thought exactly that as they were sitting with Jim Nance after the round for the interview, the classic post-Masters interview there, and I'm like, who's the nice older guy there? You know, the very distinguished looking gentleman to Hideki's right there, acting as an interpreter, and now we know.
Yeah, that was
Bob right there. That's awesome.
What a good man, and what a wonderful nice guy, and he doesn't seem like the typical agent. And when I told him that, we were talking on the phone before he came on last week and or earlier this week. And I said, you're an agent? I said, you know, I've been around agents, you know, nothing to undermine my other agents, but he doesn't seem like an agent. He says, I'll take that as a compliment, you know. So just a cool man. And that picture of Hideki at the airport that kind of made it all over social media with his green jacket. I'm sitting there and I'm going, wow, most of these Masters champion wind up on a TV shows. They do the right. rounds, you know, the next evening or in the next morning for the following week. Hideki, obviously not speaking English, didn't do that. But I was thinking that the Augusta National people seeing the green jacket lying across, I mean, nicely folded in the airport. You know, you'd think they would have given him a suit bag or something so he could zip it up and on a hanger. So I'm sure they're a little bit horrified down there in Augusta, because they do everything, every I is dotted and every T is crossed, and then they go, oh my God, we forgot to give him a suit bag.
Yeah, that is literally the equivalent of me sitting at O'Hare with the green jacket just laying there on top of my carry-on bags. But it was surely fun, and as Bob said, He's a very laid-back, blue-collar, modest, shy individual. And, hey, he just won the Masters. He's got to get back to Japan. He's got to go home. So that's the way he did it. Went
you know,
to
and the other,
Atlanta
the,
Airport.
And the other thing, Mike, is of course, he came – we always have to have a Chicago angle because we're always Chicago-focused here in our little town here.
Right.
Our little backwater of the United States. He did fly into Chicago because he had to fly to Tokyo from O'Hare. So we got a Chicago angle on the story. But the other thing I was going to – the other thing I wanted to say about this – is that, you know, the Japanese follow these guys around like crazy. Ryo Ishikawa, he's been out at the John Deere before, and you'd have like, I mean, a lot of, all kinds of Japanese media. And Hideki gets like, you know, there's a lot of Japanese media, a lot. And he doesn't say much. He's kind of shy. And unlike Ishikawa, who used to dress really flamboyantly and he was a good talker, etc., Hideki's not like that. But the point is, there were only seven, because of COVID, there were only seven Japanese media at the Masters, four of them photographers and three, you know, writers or whatever. And typically there's like, you know, at least three times that many, you know, at a big tournament like that. And I mean, it's massive. So I was going to ask Bob and we didn't have time, but whether maybe that lack of media pressure and attention maybe helped him relax a little bit. But anyway, maybe next time Bob's on, we'll ask him.
Yeah,
that.
It was great. It was great talking with Bob Turner. Still to come on the show, Barry, we will talk to our friend Ed Sherman, who's got a great master story of his own from a few decades ago. You'll definitely want to stick around for that. We'll continue to talk a little Masters and Hideki Matsuyama when we return. This is The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine, with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito right here on 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And we are back. Another half hour here on The Scorecard, followed by Early Odds and then Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 The Score. Ed Sherman, our friend and former co-host of The Scorecard, will join us around 7:40. Until then, Barry Cronin and me, Mike Esposito, talking to you about the Masters. We just talked to Hideki Matsuyama's interpreter and manager, Bob Turner. That was good fun, Barry, and a really great story. And I know our listeners definitely appreciated it. Our text line, by the way, if you'd like to text us, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. From the 630, what a great interview and a great man. Good for you guys to have him on. 309 Peoria Matt tells us, we've been spoiled with a November-April Masters, and it's going to now be a long year, Barry. So those came in during the break, but agreed on both counts. We've had two Masters in 5 months here. And Bob's story, although I had read it prepping for the show and talking to him was great. It was really been a fascinating turn for Bob and a great turn for Hideki.
Yeah, one of the stories that I sent you was from the New York Post, written by Ian O'Connor, and Bob was so nice. He said, "I can't believe Ian wrote such a great story about me. All we did was walk a couple of holes out at Augusta National." Well, Ian's one of the top writers, golf writers in the country, and of course, once again, I believe the Tribune and the Sun-Times did not have a writer there. Unfortunately, because we are golf writer free here in the in the metropolitan area. Although the Daily Herald, I have to say, out in Arlington Heights, Len Zeem, my old companion at the Sun-Times, former companion, is still doing some great work out there. And he's really the only guy that's writing, but he didn't cover the Masters. So, it's unfortunate that our local metro papers don't have golf writers anymore. I was going to ask Ed, maybe this the Swiss billionaire who just bought the Tribune, maybe he'll restore golf writing, although I don't know if he's a golfer. Who knows? I think he's I think he's like a political guy, but whatever. You know, these things happen.
We'll have to find out. I do. I think Teddy was the last, and maybe.
Teddy Greenstein was the last.
Yep. Maybe, just maybe. The good news, though, Barry, is that we do have Chicago District Golfer Magazine, and this segment is presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. And you know a thing or two about that. It's a great read. In fact, Ed, who will join us in a second, that is where I learned of his Tiger Oprah story, which we will hear here in a second, and we will have a good time with. But that is certainly good golf journalism here in the Chicago area, and we certainly appreciate it.
Well, you know, honestly, I've been editor for about a year, and what we're trying to do, really, Mike, as much as we can, we have 6 print issues every year. I mean, every year, and so we're trying to, as best we can, fill the void. You know, we're not a daily newspaper, and so we don't necessarily cover events day to day. But I think we're trying to present feature articles and keep up with our local players like a Doug Gim and a Nick Hardy, some of the other guys who are trying to make it on tour or who are on tour. Doug's on tour and he's been playing well, so we're trying to kind of fill the void. And you know what a magazine can do is some of the longer feature stories with good photography and everything. So that's what we're trying to do. And and if you want to get the magazine, all you have to do is join the Chicago District Golf Association, and you get all kinds of benefits, including the magazine. If you only got the magazine, it would be worth it. But
that's
you get
right.
a lot of other stuff too, so it's cool. Hey, that was my commercial for the magazine.
There you go.
Hey,
we were just talking about the Masters, and then all of a sudden, and I thoroughly enjoyed, and because I do get the magazine, the long form piece on local native Kevin Streelman. That was a fantastic read and really interesting. And it was cool how he talked to his journey, and really how you go from, being broke and having no money and trying to make it. And then all of a sudden, he's been on the tour forever and doing very well for himself, as you would imagine, being a professional golfer. But it's a great story. And he's from the Wheaton area.
Right. And he wound up, he started out playing, little Illinois Junior Golf Association events, and wound up playing at Wheaton North High School, and then got a scholarship to go to Duke, played there, and then he's kicking around those mini tours back in the day, and wound up, it took him years. He used to practice out at the Bensonville Golf Dome, owned by our friend Mike Monroe, who would see him every night, he'd pound balls during the winter, and then he was a substitute teacher during the when he wasn't on tour. So anyway, but yeah, and now he's made millions, and he's out there now. That he lives out in Scottsdale now, and places like Portillo's and and Lou Malnati's are beginning to expand out there. So the inside pic photos were of him chowing down out at Portillo's. So it was a pretty cool story. So there's a lot in there that's really good.
Agreed. So yeah, check out the Chicago District Golfer Magazine, and that article in particular was great, as was the one written by our next guest, who will join us right after this break. Ed Sherman used to host this show, The Scorecard, for many years with Steve Olkin. He used to write for the Trib. He now has a column in the Chicago District Golfer Magazine. His column that we're going to talk to him about, it involves Tiger Woods and Oprah Winfrey and Ed Sherman. And those three people and the confluence of events that brought them together. We will we'll talk to Ed next right here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score. And back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine here on 670 The Score. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito with you. And we are excited to be joined by a familiar voice to longtime listeners here of The Scorecard. He will be joining us shortly. Ed Sherman will be on with us. A great story, and we will look forward to hearing it, Barry, as Ed joins us. But he will be joining us momentarily. We talked about Hideki. We talked about the Masters. We've talked about a friend of the program, Stuart Sink, who is this weekend's tournament down in Hilton Head, Harbortown. Stuart Sink has a 5-shot lead right now over Corey Connors at Hilton Head, the RBC Heritage. He is 16 under after a 63-63 to start for the first two rounds. Not too shabby for Stuart, and he's hot. He played great in the Masters last week too.
Yeah, he was T12 at the Masters, so I think that means he gets in next year. And you know, to shoot 63 in your opening round on a Thursday, and then to, you know, normally the next day you shoot 77, you know, but but he backed it up with another 63, which is pretty good. He's got his son Reagan on the bag caddying for him, which I believe he did last week at the Masters. So they've really got it going. They've got a good game plan. And, you know, they know how to attack that course. Stewart has won the tartan jacket a couple of times before in his career. So the course obviously fits him, or he fits the course. However, it's a different animal than Augusta National, much tighter and much more, you know, it's just a different course. Although I did hear Cameron Smith, who is... a couple of strokes. Oh yeah, he's behind, but he's about 7 strokes off the lead. But he was leading after one round, and he just said, "Yeah, the chipping and putting is so much not easier, but you know," he said at the Masters, "you know, he felt like, you know, any disaster could happen any second, and here, you know, chipping is more reasonable, you know, not as frightening." It's a little bit easier venue. It's like the entire PGA Tour that's playing there is just like a big exhale. It's a group exhale when you play at Hilton Head the week after the Masters.
After the Masters. Well, and it's funny because, you know, Stuart Sink was on this show last year, and we jokingly refer to him.
He was? I didn't remember that. That's incredible.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he is a friend of the program, and, you know, as I'm reading about him, he has been on quite a tear. He won for the first time in 11 years last September at the Safeway Open, and he's been in the top 20 5 times, including last week's in the Masters since then. So maybe we do have something to do with that, Barry. We'll certainly roll with it and take credit. So certainly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are now pleased to head on out to the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Alpamonte Nissan is in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or you can find them at apnissan.com. Our friend Ed Sherman joins us, writing for the Chicago District Golfer Magazine. You knew him as host of this show for many years. Good morning, Ed. How are you, buddy?
First time caller, long time listener.
Oh,
be back with
you,
boys.
Oh, Ed, it's good. I'm sure all of our listeners have. And you probably slept a little bit longer than today than you normally would back when you were hosting this bright show.
No, I wake up and listen to you guys, and I'm thrilled that Steve Olkin, and I are thrilled that you guys have taken over the tradition and doing such a great job. And so it's always a tradition. I do sleep a little bit later, yes.
Well, Ed, you were kind enough to... first of all, you've been writing a lot for Chicago District Golfer Magazine, and you know, we really appreciate it.
You're a good editor, I hear.
great work. Well, you know, whatever. We the editor doesn't have to do. It's like, you know, you don't have to play an instrument. You just conduct, you know, so it's good.
That's right.
So you've written, it was funny, you wrote this really nice article about the future of golf, what's going to happen this year after the pandemic. But then as we were talking, you told me this great story, and I said, Ed, why don't you write this column? So it's about Oprah and Tiger and Ed Sherman, and it's like, and it was your, tell us a little bit about it. It's not, I'll just set the scene, 1997, Ed Sherman.
1997.
Your first
Masters. First golf tournament that I ever covered. No, it was the first golf tournament I ever covered. I'd just been assigned to the golf beat at the Tribune, which I was very happy about because, you know, I'm an avid bad golfer, but I love golf. And, and so, you know, that was the year that Tiger was just turning pro, and he won twice that fall, and he won another couple times early in the year. And now he's coming in to play his first Masters as a pro at 21. Now, mind you, he had not made the cut in his first two previous Masters. He was coming into the tournament not playing very well. He hadn't really done anything in a couple months where he even really contended. But all the hype was about Tiger. And, you know, obviously because he was this new face of golf. I mean, the guy was Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year in 1996, even though, you know, he just barely turned pro. Obviously, you know, it was pretty good call considering the kind of career he's had. But going into that tournament, there's all the hype was about Tiger. And, you know, and you had a lot of good players coming in. And I kind of said, you know, and I thought, well, it's kind of, you know, tame the hype a little bit about Tiger. So I wrote this story, Why Tiger Won't Tame Augusta. And it came out the Wednesday of the tournament. The problem or
where did they play this story?
Well, that was the problem. The problem was instead of like usually burying the golf stories like they usually did, they blasted it across the whole front page of the sports section. I mean, it was right in the middle, front and the center. It was the big story of the day. So now I'm really hanging out on a ledge. But I think, you know, okay, the guy goes out on Thursday. Now, Thursday morning, or Thursday afternoon, he goes out and shoots a 40 on the front nine. 40, you know, four over par.
The guy's,
right. He's like, Tiger, forget about him winning. He's not going to even make the cut again. And I'm feeling, okay, I'm safe. And I'll never forget this moment. On 12, I'm watching. He hits the ball behind the green on 12. So now he's looking at another hard up and down just to make par. He's maybe going to go five over. And he chipped it in, you know, as Tiger does. And I went, uh-oh. And I just got a sense right then and there. And he plays that back nine and 30, you know, and then all of a sudden, and then he just puts on he didn't just win the tournament. He shot 18 under and won. What did he win by? 12 shots or something like that?
He won by 12 shots. He completely buried the PGA Tour for the next 20
years. I'm like, this was the days before email, but the dude did have phone, you know, where email was prevalent. They did have voice messages, and my voice, you know, I just was like, I couldn't even listen. You know, people were just skewering me. Most people were pretty good-natured, but, you know, I will say there are people who kind of accuse me of, you know, not being a fan of Tiger because of his skin color, which was pretty offensive to me. I had nothing to do with it, but most people were, you know, were pretty good-natured about it, and, you know, it just was this whole weekend. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, the guy just put on, you know, it was an epic. I mean, it's arguably, I think his Masters and Jack winning at 46 are probably the two biggest Masters of all time as far as impact and memory for people. And so I actually wrote a mea culpa the day that he won, kind of, okay, you know, saying that this, I said that Tiger Tames Augusta was the worst headline in the Tribune since Dewey defeats Truman. Right. And and had some fun with it. And so you know, just kind of, you know, poking fun of myself because obviously, you know, that's what I have experience doing that. And so then that week he gets invited to be on Oprah.
Which at the time was at Harpo Studios in Chicago.
Right, right. And he gets invited to be on Oprah. And so they invited us to come down, you know, to watch the taping of the show. We weren't in the studio. We were in we were in the control room, you know, with the directors, and there was a couple, just a couple of us, you know, maybe me and another writer. And like about 5 minutes before the show comes on, the door just flings open. Like, you know, just, she doesn't just walk in, it flings open. And there's Oprah, you know, in all her bluster. Where's this writer who, you know, said Tiger wouldn't win? I bet you he's eating crow right now. And she's kind of, and I'm like trying to, you know, where's this writer? And, you know, you'd be eating some crow. She kept saying eating crow. And I'm like laughing and she's laughing. And I said, I apologize. I said, I'm eating a lot of crow. Serve it, please. Well done, please. You know, and she's laughing. And then she mentioned it on the show. Well, we have a writer back there who's, I saw before the show who, you know, said you wouldn't win. I bet you he's eating crow right now. You know, and so that was kind of, you know, that was kind of a funny story. I mean, that was my first golf tournament. Man, was that, you know, was that a way to break in? But it was a funny story. I love telling. And the thing is, I mean, literally for years after that, for years, people would remind me of that prediction. I mean, people that I didn't even know, you know, they, you know, you'd introduce that, you know, you the golfer, yeah. Oh, I remember that prediction you had about Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, it was like the gift.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing, Ed? I always found that to be unbelievable when you would, you know, you think you're just writing stories and going on,
right,
and people
right.
don't know who you are and whatever. But people do. I mean, I had, you know, anyway. So, yeah, it just fascinating
it like
how much people remember.
But you know what? You know, people say, would you done it? I would have written the same story looking back. I just probably would have maybe toned it down just a little bit. But if you looked back at the facts going in, he was not playing well. He hadn't even made the cut there. I don't think he shot below 75 in any of his rounds there. Four rounds. He played twice there as an amateur. And he had no real momentum going in. You know, so I didn't. And, you know, Faldo, I remember Faldo, who was the defending champion, made a big deal about how there was a learning curve to Augusta and how it took several years to, you know, to learn the course and the nuances. And so I threw that in there. You know, I had these reasons. I thought it was pretty well thought out. Just was the I didn't really factor in the fact that Tiger was going to be the best player of all time, I suppose, when I wrote that story.
Yeah.
That was his coming out party too, Ed, and I think that's what, because it's such a memorable, you know,
that
it's
is,
not just one of his
that
wins.
Was the
it
most,
was his yeah.
Yeah, it was the most watched Masters, most watched golf tournament of all time by far.
Yep.
And it wasn't like people were watching because there was drama. There was no drama on Sunday. They were watching this new star, you know, just yep. explode. And keep in mind, he didn't win another major for over 2 years until they came here to the PGA in 1999. Now, you know, and so, it, you know, he didn't.
Well,
he went
and changed his swing. He won the Masters by 12, and he went and changed his swing. I mean,
in 1998, mm-hmm. he changed his swing. You know, so that's when he really became, you know, this, you know, outer world type guy. You know, winning all those majors in, you know, an eight, nine year period. It was a really fun, you know, talk about breaking in. And the other story that I kind of relate to that. That you know, I'm out in the 10th tee on that Sunday, you know, and this, you know, about to walk in after walk following him in the front nine. And who do I see out by the 10th tee? Ernie Banks. Ernie Banks is out there. And I'm like, Ernie,
awesome.
You know, and what are you doing? You know, what are you, oh, this is, you know, Tiger Woods. Oh, I got to be here. You know, this is the most unbelievable thing in the world, you know? And so I was talking to Ernie and it was very, because I had to write a big story for the front page about not the cultural, you know, the historical impact of a African-American winning this golf tournament at Augusta National, which didn't allow African-Americans until Lee Elder, I think, in 1976. And here's Ernie Banks, who can talk from the perspective of what this means to African-Americans, as he was one of the first African-American baseball. It was the first African-American baseball player for the Cubs. And, you know, and he gave me some great quotes for it, but I'm like, Ernie Banks, what more is going to happen on this week? You know, it was pretty memorable.
Very,
Ed, thanks
very
for coming
awesome.
On. You're running up against the break, my friend. So, but thanks so much for coming on and humiliating yourself yet again.
Well, it's always fun. Thanks, guys.
All
continue
right,
the good job.
You're a good sport, man.
Thank you,
you're a good
Ed.
Sport.
Barry, we are out of time, as the music tells us. A lot of fun and great stories there from our friend Ed Sherman. Bob Turner was awesome at the top of the hour. Hideki Matsuyama's interpreter and manager. Also, thanks to Mike Gilligan. Thanks to you, Barry. We'll talk to you next week. And
awesome,
thanks to
Mike.
Thank you, Barry. We'll talk to Adam Studzinski, our producer, next week as well. He does a great job, as always, back at the Score Studios. That's Barry Cronin. I'm Mike Esposito. This is the Scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Early Odds is next here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.